Happy Thanksgiving. Say happy Thanksgiving to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, wish your neighbor a very happy, thankful week this week as we all get to celebrate Thanksgiving. So next Sunday is our last service here, and you know, it is a great opportunity. I know it's a little bit of a change because we're moving to Saturday for a short time, but you know, it's going to be a good place for us. It's got a lot of land. It's got a nice place for us to meet and have a nice service. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time. You know, when Kim and I met in Hawaii at missionary school, as you all know, we roughed it for Jesus and we signed up to be missionaries, but you started in Hawaii, which is, you know, if you're going to be a missionary, go to the worst place first, right? Go to Hawaii, you know, before you travel to the Philippines and other places. So we did that. We roughed it for Jesus. And I'll never forget when we, and I was 19 years old, which is just a few years back, since you were in fourth grade with Bella not too long ago. Just a slight age difference. We're 19, most of the kids there, and they had, so there was three bases on Hawaii. It's called Youth with a Mission, and it is an amazing, amazing missionary organization to do, you get to study the Bible, and then you get to travel the world, so you do both. And so as we're there, you know, I think in 6 months it costs like it was $8,000-$10,000 or something like that. And after a month being there, there was kids who needed money. And so, and again, mind you, these were all 19-year-olds. But in like 1 hour, 19-year-olds gave like $25,000. It's crazy. It's crazy. And there was only like 50 of us at this base. And so it was super, super amazing. You know, I wish they were still my friends. But anyway, you know, thank you for your sacrifices and thank you for giving. It is a great opportunity for us to be moving out of here. About 3 weeks ago, the funny thing is, at the beginning of the year, 2020, I was praying and I really felt like God was going to get us out of this location somewhere else. And so, you know, next thing you know, COVID happened and we're here, we're not there, we're here, not there. And so 3 weeks ago, on Monday, I was praying, I was coming down the hill. And I was reminding God, I was like, God, you know, you told me that we're going to be out of this location. And just happened the next day or two after that, the landlord here sent me a text that because they've changed their ministry, which used to focus on youth, now their focus here is the food ministry. And so this food ministry is their main ministry at this location. And they're filling the building with refrigerators and freezers and stuff. And they just don't have room for us to ever go back inside. And so he said, you know, I fully understand that if you, you know, if you wanted to have service outside, you can stay as long as you want to. But I understand that, you know, it does eventually get cold in Southern California, right? Like if you were here, was it two Sundays ago when we were like 30 degrees outside and we had a campfire and we're shivering and rain was falling on the worship team, which was the best part of the service. But anyway, we had two waterfalls on the worship team that day. It was so cool. Let it rain, right? And it did. It did. So we knew at that point it was time for us to move. And so we started praying and started looking around and God kind of opened the doors of the place that we're going to. And again, it is a slight change, but sometimes change, like Joel mentioned, it's good because we can get all stuck in ruts, right? Typically, when we come to church on Sundays, most people, whether you're here, you're there, you're at another place, you typically sit in the same seat. You typically sit in the same spot. You typically eat the same donut, right, Joel? Chocolate with peanuts on top. And Aaron. Not Joel anymore, but what Joel in the old days would eat a donut. And he's thinking of one right now as Aaron walks up with his favorite donut. Thank you. He's carrying on the name there. Thank you. But how many of us know we are creatures of habit? And like COVID, how many of us have seen in this year, it really has kind of shaken some things in our life, you know, with work and not working and work and not working and movies. If you used to like going to the movie theater and eating that delicious popcorn with lots of salt and more butter because butter is good for you. All the things that we used to love, right? All those things is just life is different. And so this is no different that God has opened this door, but it's going to be a slight change for us. But it's going to be a beautiful thing. So next Sunday is our last Sunday here. And the following weekend after that, it's going to be Saturday at 6 o'clock. We will not be bringing donuts, sorry, Joel, at night because it's just too much sugar to eat at night, right? It's after like 7 o'clock at night, you shouldn't have that much sugar in your system. So we're thinking about bringing fruit, right? So we'll have decaf coffee, some veggies and fruit. What? Yeah, well, we definitely have to do decaf because I enjoy sleep, and I definitely want to go to sleep when I get home. Well, not right when I get home, but, you know, eventually. So, anyway, thank you. Thank you for all that you guys do. Thank you again, Jose, wherever he disappeared to. Oh, he's just right there. I see something shiny, so I knew you were sitting there, but you're not standing up. So, you know, Celebration Sunday kind of started as we wanted to recognize a ministry and then kind of explain the ministry a little bit and who they are. Because sometimes even when we come to service, we don't have time to really get to know one another, right? And so sometimes we'll see you and we talk a little bit, you know, especially me and Jose, sometimes Joel. You know, we're working before, after. It just depends what he's got going on. And so sometimes we're so busy that it's hard to set up. You know, it's one cool thing where we're going. We do not have to move any chairs or sound systems. So that for us is a big, big plus. But and then it kind of evolved because it really isn't fair to just highlight, you know, ministry. We wanted to highlight a family as well. So Celebration Sunday, it's sometimes just to bring somebody up and to give them honor and respect, but also to celebrate because all of you are awesome, right? You're all awesome. Pat yourself on the back and say, I'm awesome. And then pat your neighbor on the back and say, you're awesome too. And I want you to know you're super, super awesome and I love you. Thanksgiving is this week. Obviously, we know it began as a day of giving thanks and making sacrifices for the blessing of the harvest that God had provided. Prayers of thanks, special Thanksgiving get-togethers started before 1536. And before 1536, there was 95 church holidays plus 52 Sundays when people were required to go to church. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're required to go. 95 church holidays you had to attend and 52 Sundays required. And so some people, believe it or not, got frustrated, and so they wanted to reduce the number of holidays. They went from 95 church holidays to 27 holidays, and there's two holidays they were trying to get rid of, which was Christmas and Easter, which is a great idea, just kidding. And they wanted to replace it with days of fasting, even better, or the day of Thanksgiving. And so they did implement Thanksgiving, but as we all know, we've kept Easter and Christmas as well. And you think of days of fasting, and it turned in really, instead of day of fasting, a day of feasting, right? But it was to give God honor and thanks for all that he provided. Everything that God had done in that year was a day to give him thanks. And so you can see the thought behind fasting, because fasting, how many of us know fasting is a sacrifice? Because most of us in here do like to eat something, even if it's little every day. We do like to eat, but when you give up eating, that is a sacrifice, and you're giving it to God and thanks for all that he's done. And so this morning, we do have a Thanksgiving message, and today it's going to be 7 reasons to be thankful today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Kings 8, and we're going to start in verse 54. 1 Kings 8, 54, the dedication of the temple. When Solomon finished making these prayers and petitions to the Lord, he stood up in front of the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands raised toward heaven, and he stood in a loud voice, "Bless the entire congregation of Israel. Praise the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed all the wonderful promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us or abandon us. May he give us the desire to do his will in everything and to obey all the commands, decrees, and regulations that he gave to our ancestors. May these words that I have prayed in the presence of the Lord be before him constantly, day and night, so that the Lord our God may give justice to me and to the people of Israel, according to each day's needs. Then the people all over the earth will know that the Lord alone is God, and there is no other." Verse 61. "May you be completely faithful to the Lord our God. May you always obey his decrees and commands, just as you were doing today." Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices to the Lord. Solomon offered to the Lord a peace offering, 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the temple to the Lord. That same day, the king consecrated the central area of the courtyard in front of the Lord's temple. He offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, the fat of peace offerings there because the bronze altar in the Lord's presence was too small to hold all the offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. So Solomon and all Israel celebrated the festival of shelters in the presence of the Lord our God. A large congregation had gathered from as far away as Libo Hamath in the north and the Brook of Egypt in the south. The celebration went on for 14 days in all. 7 days for the dedication of the altar, 7 days for the festival of shelters. After the festival was over, Solomon sent the people home. They blessed the king. They went to their homes joyful and glad because the Lord had been good to his servant David and to his people Israel. And so this morning as we break down this story, this story is about Solomon, and it's about the people of Israel, and they're dedicating this temple that they built, right? And for a while, how many know the story where they traveled and they made this temple in the wilderness, and they used this temple everywhere they went. Everywhere they went, everything that they did, they traveled in this temporary temple. But eventually, when they got to the promised land, David's son, Solomon, was the one who put together all the pieces, all the money, all the resources, and actually built a physical temple. And so they were celebrating because this temple came to be. They were celebrating. They were exciting. And there's seven things that Solomon points out in this that he was giving thanks for that I think that are related for us today. And the number one he said is God is the giver of rest. How many of us enjoy rest? How many of us could use a little rest right now? I know that the Barreto family, who had a dog in the hospital till 4 in the morning, their little precious Nico broke a jaw somehow. I don't know if it was Joel kicked him or Aaron, but somebody, you know, hurt Nico. And so they were got home very late, and they still made it here this morning. So thank you for coming. Solomon prays, and he says, God, you are the giver of rest. And the rest that he was describing in this story, you see, think about all that it took for the Jewish people to get to the promised land. And when God gave them the promised land, it wasn't just handed it over. Now, how many of us enjoy gift giving? How many of us enjoy receiving gifts, which we don't have to raise your hand, but it is nice to receive, right? God promised them this land for a long time. But when they got to the land, it wasn't like the land was empty. They had to fight and they even had to kill people to take over what God had promised them. And so there was years, there was days of fighting and battling, and finally came the day of rest. And so how many of us know that sometimes we don't really understand what rest is unless we know what it means to work and what it means to fight? And for them in this moment, in this story, God had fully now given them rest. They had a moment of rest. Kind of like kids. If you have kids in your home, you look forward to that time, if it's 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, when the lights are off and it's quiet, and mom and dad go, thank you, Jesus, we get to rest. Unless you have a dog, because then he needs extra attention, right? But it is so special when you get to that moment as a parent and you have that moment of rest. God is the giver of rest, and it's one of those things that we get to thank him every single day. Now, sometimes the older and younger that we get, because we are aging, but we're getting younger at the same time, how many of us understand that our body may feel older? We get up and there's another ache, and that ache wasn't there yesterday, right? The ankle's popping, the knee is locking up, and the back's a little tight. And so how many of us know that as we're getting older and younger, even though we don't really feel like it, body is kind of changing, right? But inwardly, God's spirit, in God's presence, he's renewing us. Inwardly, where our body sometimes doesn't match up exactly with what the Holy Spirit is doing, inwardly there's rest and there's peace and there's hope. Where our body is saying, I can't move, I can't turn. God's spirit inside of us, he's bringing rest. And so sometimes we have to accept the rest that he has for us. We know Psalms 23, which is a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. He lets me rest. He lets me rest. Now, sometimes our kids don't let us rest. God lets us rest. But to understand God's rest, it's a little bit different than our own rest. Because Jesus described, it's not just about laying down and going to sleep, even though we heard that Jose likes taking naps for a living, and it's one of his favorite things to do. On a date, man, I would not be married if I napped on a date with my wife. That would be, maybe she would still love me. She does put up with a lot, so. As long as there's no snoring. Yeah, that noise, Daniel, don't, oof. That's a horrible noise. So we're glad you get lots of naps. Maybe we can do a class on napping. That's a good idea, Jose. When we think of rest, that's what we're thinking. I need to lay down and I need to rest. But God's rest is a little bit different. God's rest is, hey, come spend time with me and I'm going to give you rest, and the rest that you feel will overpower your physical feelings. The more you spend time with God, the more you crack open the Bible, the more you read your Bible, the more that you pray and worship on your own in those moments alone with God, it creates rest inside of your soul. And the more that you do that, the more that you feed that intimacy with God, and the more that you spend with Him, all of a sudden there's this inner rest that begins to take over the rest of your body. Rest in our minds. Physically, we think we need to sleep. God's saying, I can give you a rest that will blow your mind. You don't need to nap every day, Jose. Come and spend time with me, and I will give you rest. Number two, Solomon said, not one word. Turn to your neighbor and say, not one word of God has ever failed. How many of us have ever said something that we're going to do and we didn't do it? How many times did it happen all the time where, you know, it could be I'm going to take out the trash and, I forgot, right? Or I'm going to mow the yard, or I'm going to, you know, do the dishes. Pretty exciting. Last week, and I did the dishes first time in probably like 6 years. It was something special. I have a new appreciation for washing dishes. I'm growing up. It was a special moment I had with the sink last week. It was really, really amazing. I forgot how awesome it is to wash the dishes. How many of us have said things to whether it's our spouses or our kids or even our friends, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to take care of this for you, and it never, ever happens, and it never, ever comes to pass. And I wonder this morning, how many of us have been let down from someone over and over and over again? Because how many of us know people do fail people? But Solomon, describing in this prayer and describing to the people, listen, he said, God, not one word has ever failed. Not one. Every single promise that God has said, it has come to pass. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. God has given every one of us promises. And sometimes we have to cling to those promises, and sometimes we have to hold on to those promises, and sometimes it's hard to see when it seems so far away, but if God promised you, God will bring it to pass. If God promised them and it came to pass, God promised you, it will come to pass. His word does not fail. And it's one of the greatest things that we can be thankful. God, I don't see it. I don't feel it. You told me, so I'm going to cling to that because I know your word doesn't fail. Number three, Solomon said that God is with us. God is with us. You know, as a young kid, I learned that, you know, it's funner to travel in numbers, right? And as a kid, my group of friends, there was like 30, 40 of us kids that hung out every single day. And so we all good things, of course. You know, we hung out and did all good things, but which I'm not going to go into detail, but we hung out. But it was fun. Wasn't it fun as a kid? That's one of the things about high school, and I'm sorry for high school kids, but they don't really get that anymore. But it will eventually. Thanks, Joel. There's hope, right, at the end of the tunnel. It was fun in numbers. It's one of the things that sometimes we have to remind ourselves, God is with me right now. And that's also can be a sobering thought, too, because some of us sometimes we could have a thought to do something that we shouldn't do, and we have to remind ourselves, God is with me right now. God is with me. So should I chew out my spouse right now? Should I, you know, say this? Should I do this? And it's a good reminder, number three, that God is always with us. God is always watching. God cares for us. But at the same time, understanding what great comfort, what great security it is. You know, it's like having a bodyguard all the time. God is here protecting us every single day. God is watching over us. God is our great shield, our great protector. He cares for you. He watches over you. And so sometimes in the morning, you know, it is a great thing to wake up and say just a few things to remind yourself. It's going to be a good day. God is with me. God's going to go before me. God is protecting me. He is my shield. Good things are going to happen today. I'm going to have a revival, and my whole entire workplace is going to be on their knees praying before the Lord, right? Number four, God never leaves us. He will never, ever leave us. He will never, ever forsake us. You know, we have at least 80, 90 more years in this life, right, for some of us here. And understanding that every single day we're here, God will never turn his back on us, that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. So many of us, we've gone through how many friendships, and we've seen friends come and go. And how many of us we've seen friends, and sometimes we've seen family members who've come and gone, right? How many this year has been a tragic year for kids who've been ran over, and there's been a couple deaths in Hemet. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And then people who die of being sick and having diseases, and it's hard, right? All those things, and people sometimes feeling left and alone and abandoned. And how many kids who have no parents? And if you ever talk with a kid who doesn't have a mom or a dad, you know, it's truly tragic to listen to their story. There's kids who go into the system and they get raped repeatedly. There are kids who get, you know, placed in foster homes and they don't ever get a chance of a normal life because every home they get to, they get raped over and over and over again. And I wonder for those hearts how abandoned, how hopeless that they feel. And we have kids in this town, in this valley, who are feeling those things all over the world, all over the world, because there's kids who are sold in, you know, to sex slavery and all those nasty things that are out there. The kids just have no hope. They feel lost and abandoned, and they're just looking for a little bit of light. They're looking for a little bit of hope. God promised them, just as he promised us today, he never leaves us, never forsakes us, never will abandon us, ever. And as a Christian, that's one of the messages. There are people that God puts into our life that we have to share that with, that though people hurt you and though people abandon you, God will never, ever leave you. God will never, ever abandon you. Number five, God is always working for us. One of the greatest things about being a Christian is that God asks. He does ask a lot. And for some of us dads in here, we know that there are things and times that taking out the trash, mowing the yard, there's a few things that we'll ask of our kids that seem like a lot to the kids and doesn't seem like a lot to us, right? But God asks us to live a perfect life. But can any of us in here be perfect? So God says, listen, this is what I'm asking of you, but I'm going to help you get there. We know in Galatians it says that Galatians 5:22, it's the Holy Spirit who produces in us the fruit that we need to live out the godly lives that he's called us to live. How great is it that God, he does demand and he does ask and he wants us to live at a different level, even than where we are today, but we don't get there alone. It's God working in us. It's Christ working in us that helps us get to the next level in our life. It is amazing to me how much God loves us that he asks, but he also gives us and leads us to that point, that he leads us to that place where he is calling us to go. Number six is God is a giver of justice. Justice in the dictionary meaning to make right. God is a good judge. And many of us in here, how many of us have ever been wronged in life? How many of us have ever felt wronged by somebody else? And even in the Christian church, how many Christians out there are wronging other Christians, and they're even Christians suing other Christians, right? There's all these horrible things that take place out there, even in the Christian church, right? The statistics, there's more people getting divorced in the church now than are out of the church, right? The Church of Jesus Christ has changed drastically, and it looks more like the world than it does the Bride of Christ anymore, right? And so there's horrible things going on, but sometimes when we're wronged, how many of us want to take matters in our own hands? And sometimes if someone gives us the finger, the natural sign for hello, you know, or if they cut us off on the road, how many of us, we'd like to just chase after them and give them that finger right back? I mean, wave. We don't want to give them the finger back. We want to wave something at them, right? How many of us, sometimes we just let things and emotions and circumstances get the best of us? We have to remind ourselves, and this is one of the greatest things that we can give thanks for, God is the giver of justice. You know, we're talking Jose this morning, and every Sunday, in case you didn't know, Jose goes to McDonald's, not for us, but himself and family, of course, in the back. And we're just talking about today, he was talking about how someone, they were blocking, if you go to McDonald's here in town, you know, there's two lanes, right? I think most of them have the two lanes, so you go left or right, right? And sometimes if you ever go in that, you're like, okay, which one do I go to? Which one's going to go faster? And so there was a person who was blocking both lanes. This person was thinking, I'm gonna get the best no matter what. And so one car moved up, and then they moved in that lane. Jose moved in, it's the order, moved ahead of that lady. Another car behind him moved in behind him, and then moved behind that lady. God always has a way of getting justice. You know, as someone was blocking the lane, he's trying to race to get here, which he still beat me and Joel anyway, but thank you for hurrying. God has a way of bringing justice. When people wrong us, when people cut us off, and when we'd like to take matters in our own hands, when they're holding up our stomachs, when we are hungry and someone is you know, maybe talking and speaking too long because I have another 25 minutes, when people want to cause frustration, you have to remind yourself, it's not always about me. It's not always about you. And there are always going to be people in this life who wrong us. There are always going to be people who stab us in the back. And I hope that it doesn't happen, you know, anymore in the Christian church and the body of Christ, because we should be here to support one another. Let God bring you justice. Let go of the frustrations. Let go of the feelings of getting back, and just let God bring you justice. If someone gets promoted over you, let God bring you justice. If someone gets something that you wanted and you really wanted it, don't worry. Let God bring you justice. This is one of the greatest things that we can give thanks for. God is a righteous judge. God judges fairly, and you know what? He gets it right every single time. He's not going to be bribed by money. He's not going to be bribed by your looks. God makes the right choice every single time. He's a righteous judge. God is a giver of justice. And lastly, Solomon says, number 7, that there's only one God. And that's one of the greatest things that I can rejoice in today, because there are a lot of confused people in our world. Over 4,000 religions, right? So many people want to say, oh, you can believe in your God and I'll believe in my God. And we have so many confused people today. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know who to believe and what he should look like and she should look like and what temple and what place. The Bible from the very beginning has said there is only one God. I don't have to be confused, and I can let my neighbors know. They don't have to be confused. There is only one God. There's not multiple. It's not, I'm going to rejoice for your false religion because you're going to hell. It's not. We can't say that. There is only one God. There's only one way. Jesus said, he didn't say, I'm just one of the ways to heaven, right? Jesus didn't say, hey, there's 10 ways to get to heaven. I'm the best choice, but there's 9 other ones in case you want to get lost or hang out with that group over there. He says, I am the only way to heaven. There is only one God. And so we have to, one, take rest, take peace and understanding. There's no confusion. There is one God, one faith. It is Jesus Christ alone. There is only one. And it's been saying that from the very, 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 very beginning. Ephesians 4:4 says, there's one body and one spirit, and just as you've been called to the glorious hope for the future, there is only one Lord, one faith. I'm going to close with 4 signs. I still have some time. I gave you 7 things to be thankful for this morning, right? Now I'm going to give you 4 signs of a thankful heart. And most of us in here, I'm sure, are thankful. When I first started in the food service, like 20 years ago, right after 4th grade, but when I started in food service, my first boss and my greatest boss, he gave me 4 things to do as a salesperson. And one of them was to always say thank you. When you get a new customer, tell them thank you. When you get your first delivery, tell them thank you. And I have to tell you that in my years of sales, I don't hang out with my customers. We don't do anything. You know, we don't go to parties. I don't hang out with anybody. All I do is sell food, collect money, and, you know, shoot them when they don't pay. But I just do my job and nothing else. But one of the things that I do in my job is I thank them every single time for the business. And I can tell you that all my customers, they trust me and they like me. And I don't have to do anything extra. I can simply do a small little job and say thank you and be appreciative. And that is it. And so for 20 years, God has blessed me. But one of the greatest ways, and I know it, is because I learned to be thankful. Being thankful is a massive thing that happens in your heart and your mind. When's the last time you said thank you, and who did you say thank you to? You know, spouse or kids or, you know, your friends. Being thankful and saying thank you, it truly is important. Sometimes, see, what we feel is that we don't have to say thank you. I deserve this. Kids, I can say, are spoiled because for years, mom has delivered food and coffee to our 5 children every single day. 5 kids, right? My wife has been busy serving our children for years. And sometimes when you get spoiled as a kid, you begin to think, well, I deserve coffee at 6:45 every single morning. Mom better be walking through that door or else. You know, we as people, we have the same attitude sometimes. So we don't tell people thank you because we feel that we deserve it is what we have. we really don't deserve anything, right? Life is short. It's a passing. We're here today when we can be gone tomorrow. Every single person you come into contact with, they're a gift from God, and you have the opportunity to be thankful for every life that God puts into your life. To be thankful, truly thankful for every single person, heart, mind, and soul that God brings into your life, that he brings into your circle. And so there's four things that Solomon ends with that I think that is the evidence of a thankful heart. And number one, it begins in the story. It says that Solomon's on his knees and with his hands lifted high. Understanding position in life, it is one of the most important things. How many of us know that when we go to work, there typically is one boss, right? Even though 20 people want to be the boss, one person to answer to, right? And sometimes they have other bosses, and they're kind of bosses, and they're half bosses. And sometimes there's workers who start to think that maybe, you know, I've worked 20 years, and I'm above a boss, and so I know more than the boss, and I should be the boss. And sometimes employees start taking matters into their own hands, and before you know it, they're not there anymore, right? One of the greatest things, and Solomon starts with this story because he's praying, he's on his knees, is he understands his position with God. God, I am a mere man. And we know that Solomon goes on, and we can air out his dirty laundry, but we're not going to. But in this moment, Solomon understands the position. I am a mere man. I am only a man, God. I'm humble. I'm giving my life to you. God, I'm surrendering. He's on his knees with his hands to heaven. God, I give you everything in this moment. And every single day, that's all that God is asking us. Number one, start with surrender. The day doesn't have to be about us. The day doesn't have to be about where we're going and what we're doing. All those things are going to take place. Start your day with surrender. That is the evidence of a thankful heart to God. All that he's about to do, God, I surrender myself to you. There's a lot of things, God, that I can go out and do today. I can go golfing. I can go take a nap. God, I can go eat a donut. I can go here. I can go there. God, or I can simply just surrender. I can simply just surrender. Two more things, maybe three. What I love in this story, it says that Solomon makes a sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of animals. Hundreds of thousands of animals. And it says there's so many animals here that they couldn't use the normal altar, that they had to go somewhere else because it was too small. It couldn't contain the amount of sacrifices. When you become a thankful person, the evidence of a thankful heart is a person who gives. Person who gives, who doesn't ask for anything in return. Not selfish. You know, the number one giving person I know in the whole entire world is my wife. She will give you our house if you want it. Give us a day to move out, right? But I'm telling you, my wife, she gives like no other person. Thank you, Jesus. She loves to give, right? And so God has helped me learn how to be a nicer giver because I was a selfish, stingy, stubborn young man. And so God has me just hand over the wallet, right? And just say, not really, but I still hold on, but I just barely hold on now, right? The evidence of a truly thankful heart is a heart that gives and doesn't expect anything in return. The evidence of someone who gets what it is to be thankful, understanding God has blessed me so much so I can give. Look at the amount of sacrifices, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of animals sacrificed, given for what? For the temple of the Lord, for the church. And here Solomon makes this sacrifice, this massive sacrifice. Why? He was thankful. Giving is an amazing part of life. And I want to encourage you, be a giver. If you don't have money to give, you can give your time, right? If you don't have money to give, you can give love. You can give friendship, right? You can send a text. There's so many different ways that we can give of ourselves to help other people. There are times in life where we are so blessed and we have money coming out of our ears and coming out of our luggages and our cars, right? And there's other times where you can't find a dime on the floor, right? It's just disappearing. But when there are times where there doesn't seem like as much, give yourself. Whatever God puts on your heart to give, is like Joel mentioned this morning, when God tells you to give, you don't question, you just do it. And so if he's telling you to give yourself your time when you don't have any other resource to give, then give yourself and faithfully give yourself in what he's asking you to do. This morning as we wrap up and worship team, you can come back up. I've got a closing verse and then we're going to close and pray this morning. And as the worship team comes on up, if you can stand, we're going to read a psalm together. Stand with us. We're going to close. We're going to read a psalm together this morning. So nice. Thank you. This is Psalms 136, and I'm only going 1 through 9 this morning, but the psalm goes on after this, all that God has done. And so we're going to read, and this morning we're going to test your eyeballs because we're going to read out loud together. Turn to your neighbor and say, together, or your imaginary neighbor. So on the count of three, can you count to three? We know Joel can. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Tasting. He's waiting to taste. You actually don't have to say it out loud if you don't want to, but just read this as we go through these verses. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. And so this week is a week of Thanksgiving. And it's a great day, and it's a great week to give thanks because God's faithful love, it will endure forever and ever. You know, through the days where we have plenty and the days that there are less, God will endure his love forever and ever. Let's pray.